It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Once again, Israel is in the midst of international crisis, its actions condemned by the UN Security Council, the president of Iran saying that Israeli commandos are wild dogs, and Benjamin Netanyahu needs to face trial, world protests against Israel's actions on the flotilla, the boat flotilla yesterday. Is Israel guilty of committing atrocities against peace activists? Or is once again the world turning against Israel even when it acts in justified ways? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. I want to fire a whole lot to talk about, a whole lot of controversies to sift through. You can weigh in with your opinion. Israel guilty or not? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown, and askdrbrown.org. And let me give a shout-out to all of our new listeners in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on KVCE 1160. Don't turn the dial. This is the right program. You're listening to the right show, The Line of Fire, where we seek to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. So welcome. Share with your friends that we are now on KVCE 1160 AM. All right. Is this another example of the world attacking Israel? Whatever Israel does is wrong, is condemned by the UN Security Council, is condemned by other nations, is attacked as if it is this fearsome monster in the Middle East, the Goliath terrifying the poor little Davids that surround it, peace-loving people that surround Israel being terrified by this monster, Israel that stole its land years ago and continues to commit atrocities. Or is this an example of Christian evangelicals, Christian Zionists just siding with Israel, whatever Israel does, and they can't even see when Israel's guilty, they can't even see when Israel's doing wrong because they're so biased in their support of Israel? Is it somewhere in between? We'll get your comments. I've got lively discussion I've been following on Facebook regarding this. But let's go through the facts. There were activists, clearly, that wanted to break the blockade. You say, well, why is there an Israeli blockade on Gaza? Because Gaza is run by Hamas, a terrorist organization, which continues as much as possible to inflict harm and damage on the people of Israel and would, if it's had its way, wipe out the people of Israel. Maybe I'll read some of the quotes later from the Hamas charter. This is a violent terrorist group. Although it was elected by the population of Gaza, it remains a violent terrorist group, a group that rained down thousands of bombs on Israelis with the intent to kill as many as possible and to disrupt life in the neighboring territories as much as possible. This was Hamas's way of saying thank you when Israel, without condition, gave Gaza back to the Palestinians. This is what Israel got in return. And when Israel then finally said enough is enough, what was it, over 7,000, close to 10,000 rockets had rained down. Where was the international condemnation, by the way, if I may ask? Where was the international condemnation of Hamas? Where are the UN Security Council condemnations of Hamas's terrorist actions for years? Where is the international media showing the pictures of the Israelis maimed, killed by the bombs? No, but they're the Jews. The Jews are always guilty. Or am I exaggerating? Well, let's stay with us. We'll see. So Israel has had a blockade against ships coming in to Gaza. Why? Because they would be bringing weaponry. You say, what about humanitarian aid? Israel's all for it. Israel continues to deliver. I've got a link on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. A bunch of informative links, but one of them lists Israel's humanitarian aid in Gaza in detail, consistently delivering truck supplies, medical supplies, many of them hijacked by Hamas along the way. but bringing in whatever they can to help. They did this during the war against Hamas during those 3 weeks, Operation Cast Lead. They've continued to do it through this day. And in fact, I want you to hear what actually took place. We've got these links for you online, but this is the Israeli Navy addressing the ship and the flotilla, saying, listen, if you're coming in with supplies, we will. You need to go to the Ashdod port where there is no blockade. Go to that port, and we will assure that all of the supplies are delivered. Was their goal to deliver supplies, or was their goal to make Israel look bad? So this is what the Israeli Navy says to a ship in the flotilla. It's in English, so you'll be able to understand it without a problem.
Mavi Marmara, you are approaching an area of hostilities, which is under a naval blockade. The Gaza area, coastal region, and Gaza Harbor are closed to all maritime traffic. The Israeli government supports delivery of humanitarian supplies to the civilian population in the Gaza Strip and invites you to enter the Ashdod port. Delivery of the supplies in accordance with the authorities' regulations will be through the formal land crossings and under your observation, after which you can return to your home ports aboard the vessels on which you arrived.
Okay, so Israel says we will deliver all the humanitarian aid. Just go to the Ashdod port. These are the facts. You can watch the clip. All right. We will deliver all of the humanitarian supplies you have under your observation, and then you can go back through the Ashdod port, get back on your ships, and leave. And they said negative, negative. Our destination is Gaza. Now, before the Israeli troops went out into the waters to board the ships to say, don't go any further, stop here, they did go into international waters, and I'll get to that in a moment. But before they did that, the Israeli commanding officer briefed the troops. I've got a link to that, too. I'm not playing it on the air because it's in Hebrew, but there are captions in English where he says, look, we are here to do our job professionally. We don't want anyone to be harmed in the process. And if people spit at you, curse, we just have to ignore that and be professional. They were not expecting what next happened. And although this is in Hebrew, you'll just hear, I'm just going to play a couple of seconds of it. You will hear the cry for help, and the Israeli soldiers, to their shock, when some of their pistols are taken, they're being shot at. And if you, I've got links to a lot of the violent footage. It's amazing how CNN played it and ignored the parts that should have been highlighted. You've got an Israeli soldier being thrown overboard, another one being thrown down from an upper deck. And here they're crying out for help, saying we've got to be evacuated. Just listen to the urgency in the voices as the Israeli soldiers come under attack after peacefully boarding the ship to simply say there is a blockade and you cannot come in here. The intentions were hostile, not friendly, from these activists. Listen to the Israeli soldiers calling out for help. All right, they're saying we need reinforcements, and it's coming from all directions. They were being attacked with knives. They were being attacked with poles. They were being attacked with guns that were taken from them. It was like a setup. Some of them said it's like a lynching, which previously happened with Israeli soldiers just beaten to death, and then the bloody faces held out the window. Again, this is just reality. This was not on this trip, but they were likening this to what had happened earlier, and the terrorists just holding their hands out, the windows full of blood. I mean, pretty gory scenes from a few years back. And they said, this is what's happening to us now. When they finally fight back, there are Israelis injured. There were 9 activists killed. It is regrettable. It is terrible. It's sad that there was a loss of life, but there did not have to be any loss of life. And in point of fact, I contend that Israel is being painted 100% unfairly as the bad guy here, whereas the ones that came in to break the blockade, to side with terror. Listen, friends, if you are a professing Christian, you do not want to live under Hamas. Hey, let me tell you this. If you're a gay activist or feminist, you don't want to live under Hamas, let alone be a Jew standing with the Jewish people. Hamas needs Jesus. They do not need international support. All right, we'll be back. 866-34-TRUTH. Feel free to differ. In fact, don't just tell me you differ. Call in and tell me why, and we'll talk it through. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Contact me through the website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on Contact Us. We are talking about Israel's actions in the waters off Gaza, international waters, in fact, as Israeli soldiers boarded a flotilla, boats containing activists, anti-Israel activists, some with radical Islamic ties. And after Israel offered to deliver all of the humanitarian aid which was contained on the boats, just deliver it to the Ashdod port, and then they would, by land, through proper crossings, bring the goods in, as Israel continues to deliver goods into Gaza. The activists made clear that was not their intention. They were going to Gaza, which was obviously going to provoke a conflict. When Israeli soldiers boarded the ships, they were attacked violently, then began to fight back and fire back. Nine activists were killed. The world is condemning Israel. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that are history buffs, those of you that follow the UN, remember Tiananmen Square, China? I mean, a major landmark event when peaceful protesters were violently cut down. Do you remember the UN Security Council's reaction to that? Do you remember if the UN Security Council condemned China for those actions? You say, I don't recall. Yeah, didn't happen. How about when Saddam Hussein, when he was in power, and he bombed the Kurds, people living in his own country, an ethnic minority, bombed them with tear gas, and thousands of Kurds were killed, with nerve gas. Bombed them with nerve gas, and thousands of Kurds were killed. Do you remember the UN Security Council condemnation of that horrific, murderous act? You say, I don't recall. I don't recall that either. We could go down a list of atrocities committed by governments and leaders in the last 20, 30, 40 years and nary a word from the UN Security Council, but Israel, it doesn't have to do much to get an international uproar against it. Let me remind you of a couple things, and by the way, feel free to differ with me. You can have emotional reasons, you can have facts you believe support your view. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a link to a map of the Middle East and some further data of interest, of value, of importance on the website, askdrbrown.org. Again, click on the Line of Fire. It is a map of the nation of Israel surrounded by Muslim countries. And it's quite striking when you look at this. I mean, amazingly striking when you see this tiny, tiny, tiny strip of land surrounded by, almost without exception, hostile enemies. The website that I have linked mentions, unlike Islam's Quran, which commands Muslims to force the entire planet to submit to literal control by Islam, the Jewish Torah promises the children of Israel a modest and reasonable allotment of land. Israel, in red on the map, is a democratic nation, 1/19th the size of California, surrounded by 22 hostile Arab Islamic dictatorships with 640 times her size. Do you understand this? With all the dispute over the land of Israel, You're talking about territory 1/19 the size of California, and the surrounding territories between 640 and 650 times what Israel has. Can Israel have that one little place? Is that so bad to have that one little place on the earth? The surrounding nations are 60 times her population and have all the oil. And the website says, how dare Arab propagandists call Israel expansionists? How dare anyone believe them? How can the 13 million Jews in the world, almost 5 million fewer than they were in 1939, be blamed for the problems of the 300 million Arabs who have brotherly ties to 1.4 billion Muslims worldwide? How can it be that Israel is this horrific, evil force? Israel is one of the tiniest nations on the face of the earth, only about 8,000 square miles, 2.5 times the size of Rhode Island, and only slightly larger than the Canary Islands. It's only 260 miles at its longest, has a 112-mile coastline, 60 miles at its widest, and between 3 and 9 miles at its narrowest. Do you understand the geographical realities here? You say, but you're missing the point. That doesn't make what Israel does right. That doesn't give Israel carte blanche to just attack people. No, of course not. And let me say this. In the Muslim world, when Israeli children are killed, when Israeli children are killed by terrorists, when Israeli children are killed in warfare with the Arab or Muslim nations, it is a cause of rejoicing, passing out candy, celebrating in the streets. When Muslim children, Arab children, are killed by Israeli forces, it launches a national investigation to find out how it happened and why, and could it have been avoided? Look, this is not something I'm just speculating about, friends. I have so many friends who live in Israel, and so many of them have had to serve in the military and presently are in the military. I have friends that served in the past, friends whose kids are presently serving. And sometimes I'll get email. I remember when there was Israel was going into Lebanon, that we got emailed by friends, please pray, my husband's about to go in, my son's about to go in, my daughter's about to be involved in dangerous situations. And what happened consistently is that they would say it would be so much easier to just go in and blow places up, but we have to be so careful to avoid taking civilian lives. We have all these guidelines. Again, I have the firsthand stories and just miraculous preservation at times because they were trying to prevent civilian casualties and put themselves in the way of danger. Now, again, I want to make something totally clear. Israel is far from guiltless as a nation. I'm constantly calling on Christians to pray for the repentance of Israel. Israel largely is a secular nation. The very religious, maybe 20-25% of the nation as it continues to grow, are very hostile to the gospel. And the rest of the nation, say 75-80%, is secular. Saturday is not the Sabbath. That's a beach day or just a rest day, but it's not a religious day. Tel Aviv is a terribly worldly city. Every woman serving the Israeli army gets 2 free abortions if needed. I'm not trying to paint a picture of Israel as this perfect nation. I'm simply saying there is world hostility against Israel. There is biased reporting against Israel. There is misleading information that's given out against Israel. There is a sympathy that has been created for terrorists, and those who have been terrorized have somehow become the aggressors in this. And we come back, we'll talk briefly about the international waters and did Israel have a right to do this. But friends, be on the alert spiritually. What you're seeing in front of your eyes is yet another example of the world's hostility to Israel. Why? Why is there such world hatred of the Jewish people and Israel? We come back, some quotes also from the Hamas Charter and possibly some fascinating ties to Adolf Hitler. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. Again, welcome to all of our new listeners in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on KVCE 1160 AM. You have the right channel. This is The Line of Fire. And we're talking today about Israel's actions in the waters off Gaza, boarding a flotilla of Palestinian activists, anti-Israel activists, pro-Hamas activists, however you want to term them. As the Israeli soldiers were violently attacked, they then fought back, exchanged gunfire with gunfire. You said, who had guns? Well, when the Israeli soldiers boarded the ships, at least one thrown overboard, another thrown down from a second deck to the lower deck, pistols taken. They began to be shot at, Israeli soldiers wounded. They fought back. If you missed the earlier part of the broadcast, I played clips of Israeli soldiers calling out for reinforcements and said it's coming from everywhere. They were hit with poles, their knives. You think, well, just peaceful activists, why do you have knives and those kind of things on board? To kill a fish that might jump in the boat? Who said this? Who said this? Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. That was the martyr, Imam Hassan al-Banna, Hamas leader. How about this? There is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Again, words of Hamas. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. Really, I would welcome your call if you believe Israel's actions were unjustified, if you believe the media is fairly treating Israel, if you believe that Israel had no business getting on board, getting on the ship, if you believe Israel had no business retaliating with gunfire. I would love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. According to notes that I have in front of me, Gaza flotilla and the maritime blockade of Gaza. One, a maritime blockade is in effect off the coast of Gaza. Such blockade has been imposed as Israel is currently in a state of armed conflict with the Hamas regime that controls Gaza, which has repeatedly bombed civilian targets in Israel with weapons that have been smuggled into Gaza via the sea. Hence, the blockade. So what about humanitarian supplies? Israel ships them in constantly and is glad to do so. Maritime blockades are a legitimate and recognized measure under international law that may be implemented as part of an armed conflict at sea. A blockade may be imposed at sea, including in international waters, so long as it does not bar access to the ports and coasts of neutral states. This is legal background to the Gaza flotilla and the maritime blockade of Gaza. Someone said, well, why did they board in international waters? Well, they had every right to. Before the blockade was formally violated, they could say, you have made clear your intentions to come in here. We are telling you not to. Go to another port. We will make sure all the aid is delivered under your review. But no, if your destination is Gaza, you're not coming in here. They had every right to board where they boarded. Goes on and on. There was nothing illegal that Israel was doing. Israel was simply protecting itself. Now, again, please understand. Please understand. It's very difficult being in Israel, realizing that the world is against you, realizing that you have 22 hostile nations surrounding you, realizing that many of them have still sworn for Israel's destruction, realizing that whatever you do in self-defense, like putting up a wall to keep terrorists out, will get you accused by former presidents of the United States, like Jimmy Carter, of being an apartheid nation like South Africa. Israelis have to deal with this. It's often been said that if the Muslims gave up their guns, Muslim terrorists surrounding Israel, gave up their weapons, there would be no more war. If the Israelis gave up their weapons, there would be no more Israel. Many Israelis would gladly see a two-state solution, even though others have counseled against it, long for peace, and would gladly live with peace surrounding them, with their Arab Muslim neighbors. Look, can I tell you something very plainly? There is more liberty for Arabs living in Israel than for Arabs living in Muslim countries. There is more freedom of religion and freedom of speech. There are elected Arabs in the Israeli parliament. Yeah, elected Arabs in the Israeli parliament. They can speak out freely against the government. They can take issue with decisions that are made. They have freedom of religion. They can practice Christian religion or Islamic religion or Druze religion. Whereas, let's say you are living under Hamas or the PLO, and you're a Muslim, and you convert to Christianity, you could be killed by your family, and it would be considered an honorable thing. The scales are not balanced, friends. They are not even. Let's simply face the facts. Now, Haji Amin al-Husseini was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem and a confidant of Adolf Hitler. And he was extremely vocal in his desire to see the Jewish people destroyed. Haji Amin al-Husseini spent much of World War II in Germany. He said this: the entire Jewish population in Palestine must be destroyed or be driven into the sea. Allah has bestowed on us the rare privilege of finishing what Hitler only began. Let the jihad begin. Murder the Jews. Murder them all. The words of Haji Amin al-Husseini. Recent book came out about him called Icon of Evil. Very penetrating biography. This man started intifadas, started uprisings against Israel when it was just Palestine, when more Jews were coming into the land in the 1920s, 1930s. He started violent uprisings against the Jews then, who had otherwise been living peacefully with their Palestinian neighbors. In fact, the Palestinian newspaper by that name was a Jewish newspaper, and the Palestinian orchestra was a Jewish orchestra. And there was not massive hostility, and there was plenty of room in the land for all these people. Haji Amin al-Husseini began the intifadas, the violent uprising against the Jews, well before 1948, well before Hitler's Holocaust had begun. And there are many Muslim leaders, plenty of quotes available online and in books, plenty of Muslim leaders to this day who regret that Hitler did not finish the job. If you've never read my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, I lay out some of the horrible and shocking history, including on the church. When I teach at Fire School of Ministry in the first year of class on Jewish roots, I take a little time to go through some of the biased media reporting historically. I'm talking about when the Palestinians would kill Israelis, it would say, Israeli killed by bomb. Who did it? Well, it's a bomb. Israeli killed by bomb. When the Israelis would take action and say, Israelis kill Palestinians. I mean, page after page, LA Times, BBC, this is very common. I have a link on the website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the line of fire, a link that'll give you detailed data about biased media coverage today taking place over this hotel. Okay, we come back. Come to your calls right here on the line of fire. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about Israel, why the world hostility to Israel, why the world reaction against Israel. Hey, Joey, I need your help here. Just had an internet connection failure. So would you be kind enough to get our first caller online? I believe Lee from Winston-Salem. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. It's good to talk to you again. Dr. Brown, we spoke before, and I've given you my background. I told you I was born in Israel. I'm a Palestinian.
Okay, I remember. I remember speaking with you. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I tell you, the most intriguing part about this is that, you know, for a long time there, Turkey was one of Israel's staunchest that's what I'm looking for here.
Allies.
And ever since the extreme Islamists have taken over the government, they have radically changed that relationship. And it's deteriorating day by day, year by year. You can see it happening. And this is no surprise to me, obviously, what's happening. You know, they're trying to incite a war. They're trying to incite hate against Israel, which is not taking a whole lot these days. It doesn't take a whole lot for the community and the world to look at Israel and say, hey, you know, we condemn what you're doing. But they don't understand, the world doesn't understand the kind of situation that Israel is in. Mm-hmm. You know, as like you mentioned earlier, I mean, they're surrounded by hostile people from all around them. And being a Palestinian, I can tell you firsthand that there's a lot of hate against the Jewish people. If you're a Muslim, you are taught to hate the Jewish nation. That's first and foremost, and they're obviously the Christians. But, you know, I can almost see what's being said on Al Jazeera and some of these other networks. My brother's still a Muslim, and, you know, he and I talk extensively, and we argue quite a bit about the relationship with Israel. He blames Israel for everything.
Yeah. When you say everything, Lee, we're talking, so our listeners understand, you're talking worldwide. All the problems worldwide, the economic problems worldwide, wars and conflicts worldwide, it's all the fault of the Jews.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I tell you, this thing with Turkey, again, I mean, I don't know if the listeners have been watching the news. They broadcasted even prior to going in there. They're saying, we're going in regardless of what happens.
Yes.
We're going to do this.
Yes.
So obviously, they're trying to create a problem there. And I think we as a Christian nation, we as a Christian community in this country, we need to stand behind Israel, because obviously, and I hate to say this, obviously our president is not standing behind them. The UN is not standing behind them. They're on their own, and it worries me a little bit.
Yeah, and Lee, let me say this. This is a matter of justice. In other words, aside from what Scripture says, aside from whether God has promised the Jewish people the land of Israel, you know, people can debate where that plays in to international law. The fact of the matter is, this is a matter of justice. This is a matter of fairness. This is a matter of truth. This is a matter of exposing lies and errors. Let me ask you this. Why do you think, within the Muslim community, there is such intense hatred for Israel and the Jewish people, since you grew up in that environment?
Well, you know, the reality is, you know, Jerusalem has never been a marquee for the Muslims until, it's been off and on with some of these Mahdis that came along, the caliphates that came along in the past. They would kind of single out Jerusalem as, and they would try to make it a place of holiness like Mecca. But it's been kind of off and on, and now lately, with the extremist Muslims coming into power, they're trying to take over Jerusalem because they feel like it almost sounds like if they can take Jerusalem and it basically just alienate the Jews out of Israel, that they can begin the world domination of Islam in this world.
Mm.
But they have to pretty much eradicate or alienate or ostracize or get rid of Jews altogether from that side, because it's becoming more and more holy, which it never has been. If you look at the history of Islam, it never was. Jerusalem
yeah, it's,
was never,
it's not, you know, it's called, you know, Al-Quds, you know, the holy place, but in point of fact, it's never mentioned in any form in the Quran, and
exactly.
it does not have the power of a, here, look, if you live in the Middle East, basically, you if you live in Israel, you pray as a Muslim with your back to Jerusalem, and
that's right.
you're facing Mecca. Hey, listen, we're up against a break. Lee, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it very much. Look, friends, Jesus died for Muslim, Arab, Jew, Gentile, exactly the same. The same blood was shed. And I, as a follower of Jesus, want to reach out to Muslim, Jew, Arab, just the same, with the love of God, with the message of God's goodness and grace, not in a racial way, but in a gospel way. That being said, we're talking about a matter of right and wrong that's in front of us. We come back, we'll take your call. Marcus, you're up next. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us as we focus in on Israel. before I'm done today, I want to explain the spiritual dimension that ultimately stands against world hatred towards Israel and the Jewish people. And in the weeks and months to come, I hope to bring on some Christian leaders who differ with me on this, who believe that Israel does not have a right to the land today or does not see Israel as fulfilling the prophecy. So we're going to flesh these issues out here on the Line of Fire. Let me try to grab a couple more calls quickly. Marcus in Draper, Utah. We're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I have a quick question for you. I have read that Hamas in the Hebrew or the Arabic, one of the two, means violence. And I was wondering maybe you could speak to that, if that is true or not. And if it is, maybe go into biblical, prophetic, or poetic implications of that.
Okay, yeah. It's actually just a curiosity. The Hebrew word Hamas means violence. But that is unrelated to the name Hamas, which is actually an acronym with a ha, and it's three letters to try to make it simple. The ha, sa in Arabic. It is the Islamic resistance movement. What is it? Harakat al-Mukamat al-Islam. I forgot one word of it, but in Arabic. Anyway, it's simply an acronym. HMS stands for the Islamic Resistance Movement. And curiously, the Hebrew word Hamas means violence, but it's a curiosity. There's no connection. So, Marcus, I appreciate that. Appreciate the call, and it's always an interesting thing. In fact, a friend of mine wrote a book I was writing an endorsement for and had other Israelis read it, and they all said the same thing. Hamas means violence. I said, no, it's an acronym meaning the Islamic Resistance Movement. So we got that straightened out. Okay, let's grab a call from Stephen in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Hey, Stephen, thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey, nice to hear your accent.
Yeah, hopefully you can make me out.
Oh, loud and clear, sir.
Oh, brilliant. I'm not calling so much to talk about Israel, though that might sound quite random. I'm a first-time caller, and I would just like to thank you for the blessing that you have been to us over here in Belfast and the church that we work for. God is moving mightily in PA, and the Spirit is doing wonderful things over here. And God is really rising up a revolution in the people's hearts here.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, Stephen. And you say that we've been a part of that?
Yeah. I'm the youth leader in my church and in Belfast, and your teaching and just the fire for revolution and moral change has just really impacted many, many people in our church. Well, and I would just like to phone up and just to testify to that fact, that God is on the move.
I'm blessed to hear that. You know, I'm going to share that with our fire students at our School of Ministry here and really get us praying for the church there. How many young people do you have there?
Young people, I would say it's a small group, about 30.
Okay. Have you read my book, Revolution?
Oh, yeah. I've got most of your books.
All right. Could you use any copies for your young people there?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that would be brilliant.
All right, tell you what, shoot us a note through the website, through AskDrBrown.org. Tell us about young people that are ready to read the book, and we will send a shipment to Northern Ireland as our gift. Hey, Stephen, thank you for the call. God bless you, man. And we really will be praying for holy fire to spread. Stand strong.
Amen. Thank you.
Boy, that's neat to hear, friends. That's a blessing. Let's pray. It's dry, tough territory there in Northern Ireland. Let's pray for the Lord to really move in a fresh spirit of revival. Okay, I'm out of time. I'll make this short. The devil hates the Jews because God chose Abraham and through Abraham and his seed to bring redemption to the world. And the Messiah comes from Israel and will be returning to Jerusalem. It has nothing to do with Jews being better or worse than anyone else. It has to do with Satan hating God and Satan hating God's purposes. And therefore, this unique hostility against Israel. All right, we got a lot to talk about this week. Join us tomorrow. In the meantime, visit the website, AskDrBrown.org.